Tonight we are going to cover the second part, part two of God in every area of our lives. I don't know whether Moses was teaching the Israelites the entire book of Deuteronomy in one session. It can be done. I mean, it's a long hours for Moses to speak that many hours. At the same time, it's a long hours for the people to stand in. During that time, whenever scriptures read, they stood up. And whenever they get the instruction, they also stood up. So it could be a long day for the people as well as for the Moses. Regardless of the time, the instruction to the Israelites was vital for to start a brand new nation. And like that, I think the Bible instruction we receive every day is vital to live in the midst of the carnal nations around the carnal world, as the Israelite was living in the midst of the carnal neighborhood nations. Again, I trust that the Lord will bring forth the instruction and principles and precepts for us to heed that, so that we may not do the things what Israelite did. Most of time, they did wrong things instead of doing right things. I told you before, people with a good hindsight from learn fool's mistake, their own mistake, right? Hindsight is always 20/20. But the one with a better hindsight learn from other people's mistake. It's better not for us to go through that kind of trial and test unless it's necessary. Let's pray and we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, let your word be anointed through your spirit and the one who speaks, though his sins are many. Father, our heart is open to receive your instruction. Many people think that the book of Deuteronomy is not a good, fun book to study. But if you didn't think it's necessary for us to learn, you would include in the 66 books of the Bible. You want us to learn something from this book, and I believe that you have something special for us. So let us put aside our own opinion, but let us hear from you, from the author of this precious book. And you be our God in every area of our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, verse 9. We will start from 9. Next week, we're going to cover chapter 20 and chapter 21, so I expect you to read ahead, okay? Verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations. This shall not be found among you, anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft. I want you to pay attention to these things that we listed here. Witchcraft or soothsayers, or one who interprets omen, or sorcerer. Or one who conjures a spell, or a medium, or the spiritist. Or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are the abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God, drive them out from before you. When the people don't know the true and living God and this Word of God, the Bible, they will start to substitute. You never know what to expect people to do. They will substitute the Word of God with just about anything. I've learned that the American people became more spiritual than ever before. Did you hear me? I didn't say people become biblical. I said they became spiritual. That's a broad way of saying, but a lot of times the people are going in the area God hates them to go in. Witchcraft, let me cover a few areas. Witchcraft is a broad word and describes a variety of occult practice, basically anything that makes a contact with a demonic or dark spiritual world. Witchcraft is a broad word describing a variety of the occultic activities as practice. And there is a modern revival of witchcraft, also known as Wicca. They said the people who are involved with this is that they said it's a white witchcraft, the use of the spiritual power for good, as well as being a more feminist, ecologically friendly, and understanding gods and spirituality. But whether it's a witch claim to be white or black or red or green, whatever they are, but they are still dabbling into the occultic practice, occultic power. The object of their worship is the elements and natural deities. And in other words, they call the sun as God, they call moon as God, they call the tree as God, and like a ancient world. No difference, it's just different package. And they often call the mother goddess instead of call father god. Of course, that is a nice twist of the Satan. And characteristically, that they are active in saving earth. In other words, those who are involved in witchcraft and those people hang around, they are a bunch of tree huggers. And they do not shy, however, they were willing to save trees, they are willing to save owls, they are willing to save whales, but they don't have a bit of problem killing babies in mother's womb. And what they deny, yet don't understand, is that the true power behind all kinds of witchcraft is Satan himself. Because he is the author of all the deception and all rebellion. To practice or approve of witchcraft is to serve Satan. Let me say this one more time. I cannot emphasize enough of this. To practice or approve of witchcraft is to serve Satan. I'm going to expound this. If you are letting your children, you yourself, watching horror movies that endorsing the witchcraft, you are doing the same. You are serving the Satan. Are you with me? Christian has no business watching stupid horror movies like vampire movies. You know, I hear people say, Christians saying on the Facebook, some of this. Oh, what's that? The Twilight Zone and all these things. They say it's such a beautiful romantic movie. In pig's eyes. Soothsayer has a reference to the astrological type divination. Predicting the future or the seeking guidance through stars, planets, clouds, or weather. Do you know 32 million people, Americans, believe astrology? 32 million. There are 10,000 full-time astrologers and 200,000 part-time astrologers. And 3 out of 4 American newspapers carry the horoscope column. There are people who would not wake up and get out of bed unless they read the horoscope first. Of course, nowadays it's available through the phone or the internet readily. I don't care what they call it, intuition or psychic or mumbo jumbo or whatever the garbage they call it, is idolatry. It is demonic, folks. Don't say ESP. Don't say it's a psychic. Remove those words out of your vocabulary. You have no business dealing with that kind of thing. Even a joke. Because Satan and his demonic force know the human whole lot better than ourselves. Do you know that? The demons knows better than ourselves. He knows what are our weaknesses. And because they have a superior knowledge, intelligence than we are, remember, they are former angels. And they have a power within the limited power by God, they can arrange the few minor future elements. So it can happen according to whatever the psychic people or this weird people as they declared. Or sometimes because they know what happened of that, let's say I'm a psychic. And Bill came to me, and this is his brother and dead brother. No offense to you. I know he's a buddy. But when he comes to me to find out about Oscar, what it, and demons would tell me, well, Oscar this, and so on. And I tell Bill, yeah, I know your friend or brother, whoever, Oscar, and he did this kind of thing before Bill even say anything. Bill will say, wow, this guy really knows. It gives a credential. You with me? That's the kinds of things. It's just nothing more than scam. It's a money-making scam. You have no idea how many millions of dollars people are spending on this kind of thing.
A scam, but there's still demons involved.
Yes, exactly. The people who interpret their omens often use tarot card, crystal ball, tea leaf. You may wonder, what's a tea leaf? They have a water bowl, and they sprinkle a tea leaf. And it depends on how it shapes on the water bowl, they predict. And the palm reading and Ouija board. If your children are getting into the Dungeon and Dragon, even the electronic game, get them out of there. Okay? If you really want your children to get involved with some sort of the electronic game, I showed you before, there is a Christian electronic game you can go purchase. Go get that kind of thing. Medium is someone who supposedly stands between the physical world and the psychic world. And they claim the channel knowledge from the dead and comfort the surviving family member. Since there's no one who can hear or see the dead person, other than the so-called psychics or this medium, this person can scam the family member however they want. They can come up with their own word. How the family member is going to say, no, you're lying. Really? That person just said to me, how are you going to argue with that? Our culture is become more and more accepting these occultic themes and practice. Well, do I need to say more about the vampire thing? It's right there, right? While it's become more and more intolerant and hostile towards Christianity. In the book of Revelation, we find occultic practice will be widespread in the end of the time, end times. Go to Revelation chapter 9, please. Keep your finger there in the Deuteronomy. Go to Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hand, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. I find it is rather interesting for the very people who think of believing Jesus Christ is lame and stupid, and they don't have a bit of a problem opening the horoscope and read that and believe it on top of all. If you look at the horoscope carefully, there's only 12 different set. What is that?
I don't know.
No, it's a... When you look at it, the genuine horoscope is a 12. Because it all depends on yin-yang. Yin-yang is a plus and minus, and the positive and negative. It's an oriental philosophy, the garbage. Alright, that's why I don't believe that kind of garbage. Go to the chapter 18. I don't think I need to make a point anymore. Chapter 18, verse 15, please. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brethren, and I will put, note this word, next one, I will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak to them, and all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. You might want to jot down that I will require of him, accountable to God. Accountable to God. Okay? This portion of the scripture is a messianic prophecy by Moses through the Holy Spirit's guidance, inspiration. Okay, this prophet was not only for Israelite, but if you notice, it's a man of the people. Man of people. In other words, this is just another person, another man. Like Moses, this prophet would be a mediator. He's a mediator representing people to God the Father and God the Father to the people. And I just love the way the Moses said in verses 18 and 19. Go back there, please. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brethren, and put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my word, which he speak in my name, I will require of him. When I read that portion, you know, the Holy Spirit prompted me to remember from the book of John. Go to keep your finger there again in John chapter 12, please. John 12:49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me. This is Jesus speaking. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. What I should say and what I should speak. See that? Jesus was not speaking in his own word, but he is speaking the word of Father. Just like the God spoke to Moses, I will put the word in his mouth. Our Lord Jesus had three offices. One is a prophet, second one is a priest, and third is a king. Prophet, priest, and king. When he ministered here on earth, he declared God's word as a prophet. By the inspiration of his spirit, it caused it to be written down for our learning. That's what we have a Bible, a gospel message. And Jesus interceded for his people as a high priest in heaven now. And he also sit on the throne and reign as a king. And walking out his purpose in this world. And one day he will return and reign on earth as a king of kings. Go back to chapter 18, Deuteronomy, please. Am I going too fast? If you don't understand, please stop me. Verse 20. But the prophet who presumed to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speak in the name of other gods, the prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22, when the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. Bible shows us many false prophets who spoke in the name of God in their own selfish gain. And it predicts that we will continuously have them. It is so true. We continuously have the people who say the things in the name of God. You want to see them? Just turn the TV on. You have a full of them. We're going to talk about that. One example is Edgar Wiseman. Edgar Wiseman. He's the one who wrote, authored the 88 Reasons for the Return of a Rapture in the 1988. How many of you guys heard about that? It's a little booklet, 88 Reasons for the Rapture in 1988. He was an engineer in NASA many years ago, a couple decades ago. And he was good at numbers. Somehow he came up with a reason why Jesus will come back and we will all have a rapture in 1988, September 1988. You know, just in case you didn't know, is that 2011 and we're still here? Either we missed the rapture. By the way, he said he miscalculated when the time passed in October or November 88. He said he miscalculated, so he said it's in 1989. 1989 came and gone. And he said, okay, it was in 1991. 92, 93, 94. People still buy this stupidity. He's not. I have no idea. I don't care to know. Probably latter. And then there's another guy. Recently, Harold Camping. He is the president of a Family Life Radio in California, not the one in Tucson. Anyway, according to San Francisco Chronicle reports, that Camping has, I'm going to just read the article to you, has scrutinized the Bible for 70 years and said he has developed a mathematical system to interpret the prophecy hidden within the good book. One night a few years ago, Camping, a civil engineer by trade, crunched the numbers and was stunned at what he found. Guess what? The rapture date is May 21st, 2011. And at the end of the world to follow October of same year. Guess, I can tell you this much. Rapture will not happen May 21st. Guaranteed, yeah. Might happen before, might happen day after, but it's not going to be 21st. Because God says something, yeah. Obviously, these two guys didn't read that portion. You know what? You know. Listen, do you know why the San Francisco Chronicle gives them the front view coverage? Why the media gives them such a front view coverage? The reason is to discredit the Bible. Discredit the God of Christianity. If this guy is a biblical scholar, whether he's a self-proclaimed or the really biblical scholar, with a good intention or with the best idea, and if he says this, and they know the San Francisco Chronicle knows that he's wrong, because then they can simply read the book, read the Bible, and they can say, no one knows. So, by giving him exposure and people will say, oh yeah, he was wrong again, he's a biblical scholar. If biblical scholar is wrong, probably Bible is wrong and everything God says is wrong. Do you understand the connection? That's what they're trying to do. Keep your finger there and Mark chapter 13, please. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day and hour, everyone knows. Some people know. Few people know. no one knows. In Greek, it says, no one knows. Okay? Not even an angel, huh?
The Spanish says the same thing.
Really? What a concept. Not even angels in heaven. Not even angels in heaven. No, not all, no son, only the Father. From what I read here, not even Jesus knows the date. How is that possible? These are three persons and one God, and but the Father knows, and the Spirit doesn't know, and the Son does not know. Yeah. Why? Okay. We cannot understand. Well, that's join the club. That's why he's God and we are not. Yet someone would have said maybe camping was wrong on the rapture date. But he could be right on the other kinds of prophecies, right? If prophet is wrong, in one account, he's totally wrong. This is not a baseball batting average. Maybe 70%, 80%, 99%. And if he's wrong in one, he's wrong in everything. He's a false prophet. You with me? False prophet. Yes, Rochelle. He's labeled as a false prophet. There's no such a thing as a 99% correct. Let me put it this way. According to Old Testament, we're going to find out in chapter 22 or 23, I think. False prophet, we just read, he shall die. If the person prophesies something in the Old Testament and he's wrong, he didn't come to pass, guess what they did? They took him outside, stoned him to death. Yeah, if we do that, there won't be a whole lot of people on TBN. So what do we do with the false prophet? If we stone them, we all go to jail. You know what you do? Don't support them. Ignore them. If they said, well, I prophesied the idea that I did, and we need your money to go on with our ministry, don't support them. There was a guy on TV, and I forgot the name of him. Oh, and it was before 1988 when they had the Olympic. What was the Olympic? 84? Yeah, it was 84, 1984. They had an Olympic. And before they had the Olympic, this guy said, when they supposed to have Olympics in L.A., 1984. And this guy on TBN prophesied that there will be earthquake, major earthquake in L.A. So everybody panicked, and they were, of course, putting together, even the secular people putting together the strike force or the some whatever the committee to prevent that thing or to how to make an emergency work. Come and gone. They had the Olympic without any problem. And do you know what they said on TBN? People pray. People prayed to God so that we didn't have an earthquake.
We sent it to Mexico City.
I don't watch TBN. Have they turned into a weird network now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Listen. Believers today must exercise spiritual discernment because there are many false prophets are in the world. We need to test everything against the Word of God because the Lord never contradicts His own Word. Never contradicts. If God says no fornication means no fornication, no sex before marriage. You know, I heard it from the person, well, the God's going to bless us because we love each other. Really. He doesn't go against the Word of God. His own Word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test every spirit. against the Word of God. That's the your rule, that's your standard. Back to chapter 19, please. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It should be in your sermon note. Yeah. Verse 2, chapter 19. You shall separate the three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall prepare the road for yourself and divide into the three parts the territory of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. And this is the case of the manslayer who flee there, that he may leave whoever killed his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past. Move down to verse 6, please. Skip 5. Lest the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Move down to verse 11. The reason why I'm skipping this is because it's kind of repeating itself. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lie in wait for him and rise against him and strike him mortally, so that he dies, he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of avenger of blood, that he may die. Verse 13, your eyes shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with you. Even the people of Israel were blessed greatly, and they even had God as their own king, and the law from God as a guidance. They still had a problem. Why? Because they had a sinful human. They are sinful human. They have a sinful human nature, and inhumanity to others. Why? Because the heart of problem is a problem of every heart. You agree? Huh? The heart of every problem is still the problem of every heart, and law cannot change the human heart, but the grace of God can. The law can reveal, but they cannot change. But the grace of God can change. Since they didn't have elaborate police forces that has, detectives, or they didn't have computers and satellites, helicopters, canine support units, ATM, or they didn't have a CSI. They solve every complicated crime within an hour, right?
They find a taco show and they're like, oh yeah, it was.
You've been watching way too many movies. But they had to rely on the elders and judges to find out, and they had to wait upon God. The Lord want to make sure the innocent blood does not get slayed by the avenger of the blood. Sometimes manslaughter can happen, right? They don't mean it, but it happens. Like a good example that we find in the Bible is when a man is using axe, and the guy's over there while he's swinging the axe. They didn't have a good axe like that, like we do, and the axe had flying over and cut the guy, and he dies. What do I do? Yes. No. And they have to designate a certain city, the city of refuge, and they have to maintain the road very well and mark it well so that anybody can see it and then run to there. We find several points that give us a picture of Jesus from the city of refuge, yet there one clear distinction. Let's, before we start, Psalm 46, please. 46, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm going to list the things that are similar. There is a connection between the city of refuge and Jesus. First one is, both Jesus and the city of refuge are within each reach of the needy person. You can call out in the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's what the Bible says, right? And the city of refuge is well marked and well maintained. It has well maintained the road. Mansley can always run to there and find themselves in safety. Second thing I find, that both Jesus and the city of refuge are open to all, not just Israelite. Now, go to the Numbers. Keep your finger there in the Deuteronomy 1 book to your left. Numbers chapter 32, please. 35, rather. Verse 15. It says, these six cities, it was six cities. There are three of them on the east side of Jordan and the six, three of them at the west side of Jordan River. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the strangers and for the sojourners among them. And that means everyone. It says, next word, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. Third connection I find is that both Jesus and the city of refuge become a place where one in need would live. He can stay there and live there. Back to chapter 35 in Numbers and verse 25, please. Verse 25. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of an avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled. Fourth connection I find is both Jesus and the city of refuge provide protection only within the boundaries. To go outside meant death. Move down to verse 26 in chapter 35. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside of the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, the avenger of blood kill manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. If you are staying within salvation of Jesus Christ, of course you have a salvation. But if you are outside, you are eternally condemned. Fifth point is that both Jesus and the city of refuge, full freedom comes with the death of a high priest. Go back to verse 25 in chapter 35 in Book of Numbers. He shall remain there until the death of high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. That's for the city of refuge. For Jesus, Jesus was a ultimate high priest. By his death, we have a full freedom. See the connection? However, there is a crucial difference between Jesus and the city of refuge. City of refuge only helped the innocent one. But Jesus on the cross, the guilty could come, find a refuge. Agree? All right. Move down to the verse 15 of chapter 19 in Deuteronomy, please. I'm almost done. Bear with me. Huh? Okay. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits by mouth of two or three witnesses. The matter shall be established. Move down to verse 20, please. Too bad we don't have Jeff Thorpe, who is an attorney, and Chuck LeGrand. By the way, we have two attorneys in our congregations. I hope you don't need them because they are criminal lawyers. He used to be. He used to be. Not anymore. Not anymore. And those who remain shall, verse 20, those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Verse 21, here's a famous verse. Your eye shall not pity, and in life shall not be for life. Eye for eye, foot for tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, and foot for foot. Have you ever heard this verse? Yeah. Let me explain. Liberal legal expert would say capital punishment will not deter capital criminals from the committing capital crime. But according to the Bible, it does. You know, ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, single-handedly has done more damage to this country than all the other foreign enemies of America combined. What they did? What did they do? They have been desecrating the fair and balanced justice system, advocating the crimes, immorality, injustice, and atheism in this once Christian nation. They are, without a doubt, devil's henchmen. They are doing more damage than any other thing. If our judicial system worked fairly, effectively, and promptly, and any capital violators get fairly go through the court system, and they get punished with a capital punishment right away, there will be far less capital crimes. There will be far less crimes. Seems like criminals have more privilege, more right than victims, thanks to ACLU. Verse 21. All right, verse 21. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. It's known as lex talionis. Lex talionis. It means the law of retaliation in Latin. It's not for personal vendetta. Rather, it's giving right amount of punishment for the right crime. That means no capital punishment for the pickpocketing, no hand slap for the murder. Seems like nowadays they are doing a lot of that in America. The guy who do the DUI, he end up in the joint for 20 years. And the guy who murdered somebody, he's get off with 7 years, in actually 3.5 years. And with a good behavior, he got off in a year and a half. What kind of judicial system do we have? Lousy one, thanks to ACLU. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to make an insanity plea. With the application, number one, to practice or approve the witchcraft is to serve Satan. To practice or to approve of witchcraft is to serve Satan. If you have any horror movies in your home, CD, a DVD or the videotape or whatever that is, or computer game, get them out of your home. Okay? Get them out of your home. And you have no business doing that kind of thing. Huh? Second application. We need to test everything against the Word of God, because the Lord never conflicts His own Word. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Let's stand up and pray.